Well, having brought our series in Romans 8 to a conclusion last week, I've been very much looking to God for help in knowing what to bring to your attention this evening. And I have found and experienced His help this past week. I've been looking for something that could stand alone as a one-off address and yet fit in with the situation that we find ourselves in as a congregation this evening. And with that said, it's familiar words we come to this evening, words that are spoken very often at baptisms, at ordinations, weddings. In fact, these words were spoken at Leah and RJ's wedding during the week, and I spoke very briefly about these words then. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. These are very old words. We sometimes refer to them as the Aaronic benediction, the Aaronic blessing, words that God gave to Aaron, who is head of the system of priests, and the priests were to pronounce this blessing upon the people. And at this point in their history, the people of Israel, they're about to start a great journey. They've recently left behind the land of Egypt. They're about to begin their journey to Canaan, their journey to the promised land. A dangerous journey. A journey through the Sinai Desert, one of the most inhospitable places on earth. They were going to face the wilderness. They were going to face wild animals. Not to mention the frightening opposition along the way. It was a frightening time for this people. An exciting time, yes, but scary, full of uncertainty. And aren't there parallels between their situation and ours this evening? And tomorrow begins a journey for all of us as a congregation, whether that journey involves an airplane or not. For all of us, the 6 months in front of us, they're full of all sorts of uncertainties. There are potential difficulties along the way. It's not an easy thing for us to tear ourselves away for you for half a year. And we have no idea really what lies in front of us. Traveling to the other side of the world with two small children, we don't expect to be a picnic. And I know some of you have niggling concerns about the next 6 months. What will happen? What will happen here? How will the Hart family settle in? How will it affect congregational life here? There's a lot that's uncertain. But here is a certain word from God this evening, a solid promise of blessing. And if we set the whole exchange aside, maybe you particularly need this word of blessing this evening. Maybe recently you have received unsettling news from your doctor, perhaps. From your boss, from your child. Maybe you've recently suffered a hard bereavement, and perhaps you feel that your life is one bad thing after another. Surely all of us need these words of blessing to our hearts this evening, because all of us, every one of us, needs blessing. We want to ask two questions of these verses. What is blessing and how do you get it? What is blessing and how do you get it? So let's take the first question. What is blessing? What is blessing? What should we think of when we hear the word blessing? It is a common word, isn't it? We hear it all the time in church and in Christian circles. You hear it a lot. God bless so-and-so, we pray. It used to be a very common thing. It still is to an extent. When people are parting, you might hear them say, God bless. It's something you hear people say before mealtimes. Bless this food. after somebody sneezes, God bless. Bless you. Bless you after a sneeze. Oh, we've all heard of blessing. But what is it? What does it mean? Is it a magical, mystical, airy-fairy feeling? Well, these words give us a good description, don't they? It's not quite a total description, but they do say a great deal about blessing. And there's four things we can pull out. They all begin with P. Firstly, blessing means God's provision. God's provision. The Lord bless you. When people in the Old Testament, when they were thinking of blessing, when they heard of blessing, they would have thought of it as something extremely practical, a very earthly word, not so much a super spiritual word. Blessing for them related to food and shelter, family and friends, work and feasting. Those things were blessing, signs of blessing. People were blessed when they had those things. Blessing was God's provision to them. And that's true for all of us this evening. Whether you acknowledge God in your life or not, everything you have is good, that is good and true in your life, is a gift from God. It's a blessing. You have it because God's blessed you with it. If you're able to be here this evening, you must have reasonable health. Sufficient health to be out with the people of God at worship. That's blessing. That's blessing. You're all very well dressed this evening. Perhaps some of you had to spend some time thinking about what you were going to wear to church. That's blessing. I'm sure most of you, if not all, got here by car. That itself is the blessing of God. He has blessed you. Everything you have is because he's blessed you with it. And of course, a very simple way for households to recognize this and to give thanks for it is by giving thanks together on a regular basis for those things God has provided. And maybe you think it's a bit elementary, a bit basic for the minister to be talking about saying grace at mealtimes, but it isn't a basic thing, friends. The whole idea of bowing your head and giving thanks for your food, that's a very profound thing, really. It's a recognition that the good things that have been provided for you, they've come from God's hand, not your own, from God's hand, and he's blessed you with them. It's saying that this food, this is God's blessing for our lives. This is God's provision for our bodies. And if you've got out of the habit of giving thanks for your food, even if you live in your own, let me encourage you through the Word of God to give thanks for God's blessing. If it's become just a rote ritual that means nothing to you, I would encourage you to think a little more of it. In fact, Romans 1:21 describes the ungodly. And it says, although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. The ungodly, Romans 1 says, the ungodly don't give thanks to God. Giving thanks is a mark of God's people. Whether it's in private or even in public, giving thanks. This is blessing. It's God's provision for our lives. It means God's provision. Second P, it means God's protection. God's protection. The Lord bless you and keep you. Keep you. This word keep, it has the idea of a guard standing on duty, a soldier stationed protecting his post. It's a promise of God's watchful care over his people, ensuring nothing will happen to them apart from his loving concern. As we thought earlier, Israel, they're about to set off on a dangerous journey. Here's God saying, I'm going to keep you in this journey. And I'm going to protect you all along the way. And don't we need these words of protection this evening? Particularly those of us who are traveling this journey with our families. Our society is rapidly becoming a wilderness. In some respects, more dangerous than the Sinai Desert. And for those of us traveling with our families through this wilderness, we have many enemies, and they are strong enemies. We worry for our children or our grandchildren. Here is a promise of God's blessing, God's keeping. Isn't that a wonderful thing? As we make our journey to the promised land, he doesn't promise it to be easy, but he does promise keeping along the way. We sang this morning from Psalm 121, the Lord shall keep thy soul. He shall keep thy soul. He shall preserve thee from all ill. Henceforth thy going out and in, God keep forever will. This blessing of God's protection. Christian parents don't need to bring up their children in fear because God is keeping us. And even on the other side of the world, God is there keeping his people. Blessing means God's protection. It means his provision, his protection. A third thing, it means God's pleasure. Blessing means God's pleasure. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Have you ever seen someone's face shining? Maybe at a children's birthday party and the cake is brought in and their face, their little face just shining. Those of us who were able to be at the wedding during the week, we saw a groom's face shining as his bride came to him. This is something close to what the Lord's getting at here. His sense of joy and his sense of pleasure over his people. As he looks upon his people, his face beams with pleasure over them. Shining with gladness. God's saying here, this is a promise of favor and delight. His face shining upon you. It's really an astounding thing, an astonishing thing really, that God could be pleased over us, that he could be overjoyed, that he could be filled with great delight over his people. The Lord's face shining over you. That's the greatest blessing anyone could know in life, isn't it? Do you know that blessing this evening? If your view of God is of one scowling over his children, you don't know the God of the Bible. Oh yes, he is a father who hates sin, and he's holy, and at times he disciplines us in fatherly love, but he's a father who's kind and gracious and gentle and patient, and his face shines with delight as he looks on his children. Think of Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. God's pleasure. That's blessing. Blessing means God's pleasure. Provision, protection, pleasure. Fourthly, blessing means God's peace. God's peace. What happens when you have provision, protection and God's pleasure over you, will you then have peace? Look at the end of verse 26. And give you peace. Peace. We tend to think of peace as being the absence of nasty things, the absence of strife, a vacuum where there's no conflict whatsoever in. That would be peace, we say. We talk about the peace process. Mums talk about giving their head peace. But this word here is so much more than that. It's so much more than just absence of strife. This is the Hebrew word shalom. If you know any Hebrew, that's a good word to know, shalom. It speaks of wholeness, completeness. It's a positive word. It speaks of well-being in the totality of your soul. It speaks of life being all together. This is what everyone needs, what everyone wants. Real peace in their lives. Peace that surpasses understanding. And this is what God is promising. This is what God's giving here in this blessing. I'm giving you shalom, well-being. I'm giving you peace. Isn't that wonderful, friends? We don't need to be stressed to the eyeballs with the rest of the unbelieving world. Blessing means God's peace. He gives us provision and protection. He gives us pleasure and peace. In short, the blessing of God, it meets our every need. What is blessing? Well, we have these four P's taking us through this little text. But maybe the bigger question this evening is, how can you get this blessing? That's the second thing we want to consider. How can you get this blessing? And everyone, whether they recognize it or not, everyone is looking for this blessing. Everyone is looking for it. But they're looking, so many of them, they're looking in all the wrong places, aren't they? Many people think possessions will make them happy. Happiness is really another way of thinking of blessing here. Many people think the more they have, the happier they'll be. The more gadgets, the fancier the car, the more luxurious the holiday, the more fashionable the clothes, well then the happier they will be. They will have found this blessing, and the more blessed they will be. So many people think like that. They think the larger the bank account, the fitter they are, the more relationships they have, well that's where happiness, that's where blessing can be found. The idols of our time. This is where so many people look for blessing, and the church is not immune to this mindset. And we need to remember deep down that these things, these idols, they are so fragile, they are so unsatisfying, they are destructive, some of them, that they promise so much, but they give so little. Where can we find blessing? Isn't the text very clear? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. The name Lord is repeated three times, making the point very clearly, it only comes from the Lord. Blessing, it only comes from the Lord. In fact, if he doesn't bless us, we will never be blessed. Blessing comes from the Lord. And this would have stood out very clearly to the original hearers of this blessing. The people of Israel, they were surrounded by other nations, of course, and they worshipped false gods. And those surrounding nations, they believed that they needed to plead and bribe and beg their gods for blessing. And they would do all sorts of things to try and conjure blessing from their false gods, to manipulate their little gods to get blessing in return. Here's God saying that he willingly blesses his people. He says, look, you don't have to twist my arm for blessing. You don't have to manipulate me. There's no magic formula for this. You don't need to bribe me. He's coming in his mercy. He's coming in his love to bless his people. Something worth noting, too, that our English language is weak at getting across here. The word you in verses 24 to 26, it's singular. It's not plural. God, in other words, he isn't saying, I will bless you all as a big collective group. This is a big corporate blessing. This word you is singular. He's speaking to each individual here. I'll bless you and you and you and you and you. Each one of you I will bless. This is a personal thing then. This is coming individually to each one of God's people. He's speaking to each individual this evening. If you're in the Lord Jesus, he's saying, I'll bless you. I'll bless you. He's speaking directly, personally to you. If you like this blessing, it has your name, your address, your postcode on it. You could actually put your name into this if you're a Christian. This is God speaking to you, pronouncing his blessing upon you. Are you tired and weary, Christian? God's saying, my desire is to bless you. Are you a worried and stressed follower of Jesus? God says, My heart is to bless you. Blessing, it comes in this direct fashion, this personal fashion from the Lord to you and to me. Still the question remains, how? How is this possible? How can we get this blessing? How can it be we are so unworthy of it? Each one of us this evening, we're so sinful, so unclean. We deserve, rather, God's curse instead of blessing. How is it possible for his face to shine over me, over you? For God, the triune holy God, to be delighted over you? How can a holy God bless sinful people? Well, do notice, tucked in at the end of verse 25, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And be gracious to you. Friends, blessing is possible because he's a gracious God. And he's full of grace. And out of the treasure chest of his grace, he's given us of his Son, the Lord Jesus. And it's worth thinking, from all eternity, the Lord Jesus had this blessing in full. He had provision. He had protection. He had pleasure. He had peace. From before time, God the Father blessing the Son. And even here on earth, at his baptism, for instance, the Father said, you are my Son. In you I am well pleased. The Father's face shining upon the Son. Again, at the Mount of Transfiguration, this is my beloved Son. But on the cross, it was an altogether different story, wasn't it? The blessing from God the Father was actually withheld from the Son on the cross. Because there, friends, Jesus received the curse of God. He received the curse of God so that you and I could receive the blessing. So that, for instance, we could have Ephesians 1, verse 3. God has blessed us in Christ, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's the blessing that's held out to you this evening. Blessing that's possible only because of Jesus Christ. The blessing of God's provision, the blessing of God's protection, the blessing of God's pleasure, the blessing of God's peace. So let me ask you, every single one of you here this evening, do you know this blessing? Do you know this blessing? It's being held out to you this evening. Blessing in and through the Lord Jesus. If you haven't, if you don't know this, will you not embrace him today? Taking him as your Savior, receiving blessing upon blessing. Those of us who are Christians this evening, do we forget sometimes just how blessed we really are? Do we forget? Perhaps you're acting as if you aren't blessed. As if you aren't blessed. Maybe you grumble and you worry and you fret and you envy and you think that you're not blessed. God, forgive us for thinking we're not blessed, for forgetting how wonderfully blessed we really are. And you know, God is so gracious that he gives us reminders. He gives us reminders. It's interesting, this blessing from Aaron and his priests, it was to be a repeated blessing. They were to repeat this to the people of God. Leviticus 9:22 tells us that Aaron lifted his hands towards the people and blessed them. And it's thought that it was these words that he blessed them with. And this is something that he would have done perhaps every single day, this blessing. It was a repeated blessing. And in the New Testament, to his disciples, we're told the Lord Jesus, he lifted up his hands in a very similar fashion, blessing his disciples. Luke 24, verse 50. And God has designed it, friends, that This blessing would be pronounced upon his people over and over and over again, because it's as if he knew that we would forget we're blessed. He knew his people would need to hear it over and over. And that's why the public worship of God always ends with the blessing, the benediction. It's not a prayer as such. It's not a cue to go, to pack your bags. It's not even me as the minister asking God to bless you. It's a pronouncement of blessing. The minister of God, in the name of God, telling you that the God of heaven and earth, he's blessing you, calling down blessing from heaven. I don't think it's any exaggeration to say that it's even the climax of our worship, that we're lifting our hearts to heaven, saying to God, let the floodgates of heaven open and fill us with your blessing. And if you get nothing else from church but the benediction, you're actually getting an awful lot. You're actually getting an awful lot. In the days, those days when the preaching has been substandard, you can comfort yourself on the way home. At least we got the benediction. At least we got the benediction. Parents, those days when the children have been playing up and you haven't been able to sit through much of church at all, do try to be back in for the benediction. Those of us who are tired and weary, not really able to concentrate as we ought, do try to pull yourselves together for the benediction. It's one of the biggest understatements you could ever make. Benediction's Latin, it literally means good word. Good word. Talk about understatement. These are words that drip with grace and mercy. As you hear them week after week, service after service, in the various forms that are found in Scripture, let them cascade over your heart, filling your life with joy and happiness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.